Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. Well, Governor Snyder and state lawmakers say that the city of Detroit needs to do everything necessary to avoid bankruptcy. What would happen, though, if the city did file for Chapter 9 municipal bankruptcy? Could that actually be a good option, considering the financial hole Detroit is in? That's something Eric Scarsoni, an MSU Extension specialist and faculty member in the Department of Agriculture, Food, and Resource Economics, studied, and he joins me now to tell me what the pros and cons of this kind of a move would be. Welcome to the program, Eric. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
So a Chapter 9 municipal bankruptcy, is that similar to a personal bankruptcy that would allow Detroit to somehow put aside the city's huge debt?
Well, there are some similarities. It would allow for some potential reductions in liabilities that the city has, which would include bonded debt, employee compensation that is owed from pensions or health care. But there are some significant differences as well. Most importantly, the difference between a corporate bankruptcy like GM and the city of Detroit would be the judge has limited authority over a city government, and therefore he can't appoint a receiver, and he can't sell assets, he can't raise taxes. So there are some significant differences between Chapter 9 and, say, Chapter 11.
Okay, so the judge actually would have very little power over what the city would do. Now, so it would actually provide Detroit enormous amounts of protection without costing the city too much.
Well, what we've seen in some of the other municipal bankruptcies, which I will say are quite rare generally, there have been a number of them in the last few years, and they have been costly in some cases. Vallejo, California, legal fees ran into the millions, and that was a city of probably the size of Flint. So obviously Detroit is much larger, more complex. So, you know, there is some precedence here that it could be very costly and take quite a long time. The Vallejo case took over 3 years. So it is not necessarily a quick or inexpensive proposition.
Well, we've heard the city has a $12 billion long-term debt. If you could, can you explain just how big of a hole that is, how much revenue the city now brings in, and just how much in cuts the city of Detroit would have to undergo to balance its budget?
Sure. The city's general fund, which is its main source of funds, is about a little under $1 billion. The total funds for the city, which will include Detroit Water, for example, I believe is around the total of $3 billion. So it's a little bit complicated, but the $12 billion is very significant. It's a very large number, you know, on a per capita basis. So the city would be, you know, looking at some significant reductions to you know, address those liabilities outside of a bankruptcy court or major concessions from unions, you know, potentially in the tune of, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. Probably the most important thing people need to know is the city of Detroit has retiree health care liability that's nearly $5 billion of that $12 billion, and that is totally unfunded. Unlike a pension, the Detroit pension system, which actually has assets that are accruing some kind of return in the market, the retiree health care liability has no assets behind it. And so it's a $5 billion completely unfunded liability.
So how would a Chapter 9 municipal bankruptcy, how would that address this $12 billion of debt?
Well, what we've seen, and again, all we can go as is what others happened in other cases. In Vallejo, California, they have also a big problem with retiree health care. That was reduced by, I believe, 60%. So if you imagine Detroit's liability was reduced by 60%, that would be, you know, over $2.5 billion. In Central Falls, Rhode Island, which filed for bankruptcy just last year, they've seen a significant reduction there. The problem was pension, unfunded pension, and they had a reduction, I believe, of over 50%. So there seems to be some potential precedence if they were to go into bankruptcy that they could reduce some of these, what we call legacy costs, which is primarily costs associated with retired employees, significantly. Mm-hmm. But the real question may be, are there other ways to do that outside of bankruptcy?
So in that case, though, the retirees would directly take the hit then?
Yeah. In the case of Central Falls, for example, the employees actually agreed to the concessions because they, I guess they felt that was better than fighting it out in court. So, they, I mean, they are all seeing a reduction, you know, essentially in their pension payment monthly.
I'm talking to Eric Scorsone. He's an MSU Extension Specialist and a faculty member in the Department of Agriculture, Food, and Resource Economics. So, Eric, obviously Governor Snyder has said very clearly that Detroit will not be allowed to go into bankruptcy. They're trying to do everything they can to avoid that. What would the impact be on the city, on the state, in terms of creditors and in terms of our ability to borrow if Detroit did go under?
Well, there is a possibility that the bond market would see this as a negative for other municipalities in Michigan and for the state. There's some evidence that that's happened in other places where this has occurred. It's probably only a short-term impact, you know, maybe over some months, but it would mean higher borrowing costs if someone was going out to borrow money for a municipality, say, to do a sewer project or road project. So that could be a possible impact. On the city of Detroit, they would probably lose access potentially to the bond market for some period of time. And, you know, it could have some negative implications, certainly for economic development, for public relations, which obviously Detroit has not had the best PR in general, but this would certainly add to that. So there are some consequences of that nature as well.
So an emergency financial manager has to be appointed before a bankruptcy can be filed, but wouldn't the financial manager make the cuts necessary to avoid that?
Well, Michigan's law is premised on that essential assumption that the emergency manager will take actions necessary. But, you know, what could happen is an emergency manager might decide, you know, I've gone as far as I can go, and the federal bankruptcy judge has certain powers, particularly the ability to permanently terminate contracts, whereas the emergency manager has the ability to temporarily modify contracts. And he may decide, he or she may decide, well, that's something we need here. And so we have to go that route. But, you know, obviously we haven't gone that route. In fact, there hasn't been a bankruptcy in Michigan in probably 50 years. And so, you know, it's not clear that we need that power. I think at this time, you know, the emergency managers in places like Pontiac and Benton Harbor and Flint have been able to fairly successfully, you know, reduce some of the problems.
But from what you're seeing with these this billions of dollars that the city is in the hole on, this will require basically the concessions of retirees and workers for this to work out. I mean, is that where the majority of the cuts will have to happen, bankruptcy or not?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's really no doubt that the majority of these costs, you know, there are some, you know, issues with, say, vendors and bondholders. You know, Detroit does have some degree of bonded debt. But, you know, the majority of the costs of a city government are personnel. And in Detroit's case, it has more retirees than employees because it's an older city with a very large, you know, older workforce. So, you know, these problems have been building since these systems have been there, which is quite frankly going back to the 1930s and 40s, essentially. I mean, these retiree benefits and so forth have been essentially building up for a very long time. And as people have lived longer, they become more and more costly. So I think, you know, the what we call legacy costs, pension and retiree health care, are really at the core of the problem.
And in terms of the city of Detroit, the mayor, the unions, the city council coming together and avoiding an EFM altogether, do you think there's any realistic chance of that happening at this point?
Well, I think there's a chance. I think that what they've done so far is a good start, but it's certainly not enough. I mean, if you don't have the police and fire uniformed on board, that's the majority of your workforce. So, I mean, they're going to have to get police and fire agreements. And then once we know that, we've got to see what are these agreements, because the real concern, I think, is this a short-term fix or is it a long-term fix? And my sense is the state wants a long-term fix. And I don't know if you can get it. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be very challenging, I think, to determine are we looking at short or long-term fixes in the end.
Eric Scorsone, MSU Extension Specialist and faculty member in the Department of Agriculture, Food, and Resource Economics. Eric, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.